Trust you found your place in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. And I'll be reading two verses here tonight, verse 15 and verse number 16. Philippians chapter 3. The Bible says, "Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing." Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the privilege we have to be gathered as your people here tonight on this occasion where we can sing praises to your name. We can hear the testimonies of the great things that you are doing in people's lives, and then we can gather around the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would bless in a very special way, that you would use your word as you're continuing to do in a mighty way to work in the hearts and lives of all of us, to help us to be more like you, to be conformed to the image, transformed to the image of your Son. I pray that you would have your divine way in everything that takes place. May you be honored and glorified. May decisions be made in accordance with your will, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. When a baby is born into a family, it is one of the most exciting times and experiences for that family, for this addition. The miracle of reproduction is seen for the first time with human eyes after 9 months of pregnancy, in which microscopic cells amazingly have formed an embryo. And this embryo has grown through millions and millions of cell divisions to become what is called a fetus. And after this baby is born, parents and relatives and friends pay close attention to the tiny toes and the tiny fingers, the tiny hands, and we observe all the body parts with amazement that God, in his awesome power and miracle, would create life. Life is a gift from God. Amen? But after this baby is born and is now functioning on its own, breathing on its own, no longer attached to that mother via the umbilical cord, there's an expectation that we all have regarding this new baby, this child. And that expectation is that this child, whether boy or girl, will grow. Doctors and nurses assess and judge through growth measurements and growth charts the health of the baby. And so when a nurse or a doctor weighs that baby, or they check their length and they track it over a period of time, they're using those measurements as an indication as to whether this baby is healthy. Limited or inadequate growth is normally a sign for concern, as growth is just a natural expectation. The church, which is often referred to in Scripture as a body, shows many characteristics of a human body. A church is comprised of members, different parts. Each member is important, as Paul clearly outlines in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And like a body, all of these parts have different functions. You are privileged to be a part of a church. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as well that God has set in the body such as pleased him. So you are part of a local body of believers. That is a blessing from God. You're not here by accident. You're not here by happenstance, you are here by God's divine orchestration and God's divine providence. But as a human body is expected to grow, so the church of the living God is expected to grow. Amen? It is important for a church to grow. A church should grow spiritually. It's awesome to hear individuals memorizing the word of God. Amen? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. A church should grow spiritually. A church also should grow numerically. Numerical growth is a sign of growth. A church should grow financially. A church should grow in every aspect possible. That's just a sign of a good church, a healthy church that's feeding on the word of God. It's very important, and we're here tonight in the testimonies about distractions. It's very important that we understand that a church is not grown through gimmicks, through programs. It is a good thing to have events that will help us to be able to have the opportunity to share the gospel, but Shiloh Baptist Church will not grow through programs and concerts and gimmicks and tricks to get people in the service. It's going to grow through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit leading people to a closer relationship with Him. We must rely on God's power and His direction. It's very important that we understand that growth takes place when God's Spirit works in our hearts and we recognize that the message of the gospel entrusted to us is not for us alone, but for a lost and dying world. It's awesome to hear testimonies because God is working in people's lives. But I trust that as we recognize that God is working in my life, and I say that to God be the glory, that we recognize that we have been entrusted with the gospel, and because it's working in our lives, to whom much has been given, much is required, that growth in Shiloh Baptist Church is going to take place when we take what we have been given and we share it with a lost and dying world. In order for Shiloh Baptist Church to grow in 2019 in the way that God intends, we must have a vision for the world. Oftentimes, we can be thankful for our salvation and listen, I am so glad I'm saved. But that's not enough. Because the gospel that's been entrusted into us and is benefiting our lives, we have a responsibility to carry it to those who don't know Him. And when we do that, growth will happen in every way possible, numerically, spiritually, and in every other way. You see, the kingdom of God, it is advanced not through physical territory. We do have to go through the regions beyond, and wherever in this world there are people, we have to go there to share the gospel. But the kingdom of God, is advanced through the hearts and lives of people. Amen. We ought to think of the kingdom of God advancing as a battle. And every time a soul is won to the Lord, listen, you have advanced the kingdom. You've claimed additional territory, if you will, for the kingdom of God. The Apostle Paul understood this principle very, very clearly. If you look at his epistles, and Philippians is no different, and Corinthians, and Titus, and Timothy, you would often hear Paul in his writings mention people by name. He often referred to friends in the ministry. He built and held relationships as valuable. Why? because the kingdom of God is about people. It has to be our focus. You know, having relationships is awesome. Interacting with people, being someone's friend, being someone's confidant. It is a good thing because it when you have the right friends, because that person becomes a support to you. That person can be an encouragement to you when you're down. And sometimes we're discouraged, and it's amazing how we're not just physical beings, but we're spiritual beings. We have an immaterial part, because how else do you explain that you can be down and dejected and not wanting to go on any further, and someone comes and says something to you of encouragement, and all of a sudden you are springing to life again? That's the benefit of good relationships and good friends. But here's something very important that ought to be at the center of our minds as it relates to relationships, that relationships are not just for our benefit and should not just be for that one who can help me and that one who can be a support to me and that one who can motivate me, but relationships ought to have ultimately at their core of purpose a desire to influence another person to serve God better. When you go on your job and you interact with your coworker and you interact with your boss, you interact with somebody who has been placed under your care, your goal at the back of your mind, or your focus ought to be, how can my life be used to be able to encourage this person, if they're not saved, first of all, to be saved? And how can my life be used to encourage this person to grow in the word and to be a faithful servant of God? That ought to be the focus. And in doing so, when we all do that, our life will impact the work of God and the church of God will grow. In Philippians chapter 3, we have been looking at some time for the Apostle Paul sharing his passion and his personal motivation to serve God. And I've kind of dubbed this and labeled this his admirable pursuit. We saw through the verses how he talked personally, from a personal standpoint, about his passion for the things of God, to be more like Christ, to be closer drawn to him. And we looked at his mindset, we looked at his motivation, and we looked at his method. But in the verses that I read here tonight, in verse number 15 and verse number 16, he somewhat switches focus. And when you read the Bible, I'm so glad to hear individuals memorizing the Word of God and reading the Bible. And I want to encourage you in 2019, get into the Word of God. If you're going to grow spiritually, it's not going to be apart from the Word of God. But if you look at, and when you read the Bible, pay attention to words. Pay attention to words. Don't just pass over them and say, I just read it. No, pay attention to words. But look, if you look, I'm just scanning my Bible here in chapter 3 of Philippians. Look at how many times the Apostle Paul uses the word I. From verse number 4. You just look at your Bible, you see the word I. All the way down to verse number 14. Why? Because he is here sharing a personal testimony. He's here sharing his passion that has been deposited into his heart. He's speaking individually. His admirable pursuit. He says, these are some things that I've made up in my mind that I am going to do. This is what I'm about. But if you notice, in verse number 15, he says, let us. He switches. He has a transition here. He goes from talking about his admirable pursuit to what I'm going to describe tonight as an admonition to partner. Paul recognized that in this thing called the work of God, the church of the living God, in advancing the kingdom of God, it was not going to be done individually. It was not going to be accomplished just by his individual pursuit. And so he in verses 15, 16, and we'll look at other verses in the coming weeks, he describes here an admonition to partner. If Shiloh Baptist Church is going to grow in 2019 the way that God intends for it to grow, it's not going to be through the efforts of one person. It's not going to be through the efforts of just the pastor. It's not going to be just through the efforts of a Sunday school teacher. It's going to be through a partnership to see the work of God advanced. The Apostle Paul, in sharing his passion, his endeavor was to see his passion inspire others to do the same. And he uses this to motivate and inspire in his admonition to partner. I want you to notice very briefly tonight four things about this admonition. In verse number 15, the first part, notice, first of all, Paul is saying to them, brethren, or I want you to embrace the cause. Embrace the cause. He says, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. Remember, he took several verses prior to share his passion. But he says, it's not just about my passion. I need you to join me in this cause. I'm pressing for the prize of the high calling, but this calling is not exclusive to me. It is for all of us to do the same. All of us who name the name of Christ, we have a responsibility and a calling to be like Christ. That's not just for those who are in leadership. He says, let's do this together. We are to be encouraging. And we heard that so many times tonight through the testimonies and challenging each other to keep on pressing on. This is not a time to slow down. This is not a time to back up. This is not a time to give out and to give up. The devil has stepped up his game. If you're taking note, and you're paying attention to what's happening in this world, the devil has upped the ante because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And do you know in sports, there's a time in a game when a particular team ups the ante. When they've taken their game to another level. And in order for the opponent to have any chance or any shot at being competitive, guess what you have to do? If they up their game, you got to up yours. And so when the devil has upped the ante, when he's more aggressive than ever before, this is a time for the people of God to step up. Not to back down, not to do less. Our endeavor should be to do more in 2019 than we've done in 2018. Make no apologies for that. When you look at the direction of our world, how can we do less? And when we recognize that we are recipients of the amazing grace of God, that by itself should motivate us to do more than ever before. No excuse. God has been too good to us to do less. There is no way, no logical explanation to do less for God in 2019 than we did in 2018. Our desire should be to go more, to give more, to pray more, to read my Bible more. We can't do less. Paul says, I want you to embrace the cause. It's every believer's responsibility. That's how we're going to grow spiritually. That's how we're going to grow numerically. And here's the exciting thing about growth. Brethren, when everybody gets on board, the growth is exponential. Right? It's one of those things, the beauty of multiplication. You want to? You said exponential, right? You want? You know simply what exponential kind of simply means? and you just multiply some numbers. You start doubling numbers. You see how fast those numbers increase. You know, sometimes if you, this is something that is often used to encourage people to save money. And it is shown. Listen, if you start, if you don't believe in the power of saving, start doubling how much you save. Let's say it were possible. Sometimes, you know, it's hard. But if you just do the math, put numbers on paper, and you say, boy, I'm going to save 1 cent today. Or one, let's increase. Let's say $1. And you start doubling that every day. You would be amazed how much you have after 1 year. You take a dollar. And you say, next day I'm going to save $2. And next day I'm going to save $4. And the next day I'm going to save $8. I'm not saying that's always possible. But I'm telling you, the power of exponential growth is amazing. But exponential growth happens when each person does his or her part. Paul says, embrace the cause. Embrace the cause. But here's what else he said. He says, not only do I want you to embrace the cause, but he says, I want you to employ consideration. Look at verse 15. He says, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Now, here's what Paul says. Remember, he says, let us, as many as be perfect. That's a word that means mature. He says, be thus minded. He was talking about his passion and his desire to press toward the mark. But he says, if in anything you be otherwise minded, Paul understood that he was dealing with people. And in dealing with people, he recognized that there are going to be areas where everybody is not going to be on board with what he was saying. He says that there are some situations where individuals may not be fully in his camp. Or individuals may not have the same doctrinal beliefs in certain minor areas. But here's what he was simply saying. He was saying that if you have your focus right, if you have a passionate desire to press toward the mark, that God will even reveal areas in your life that need improvement. And because you have the main thing right, God will help reveal to you the areas where you need to grow. That is why I'm saying, sharing this with you, even as a pastor, you have a level of patience for individuals whose hearts are in the right place. Because when an individual's heart is in the right place, you know that spiritual growth is going to take care of some of the issues. That's what Paul was saying here. He was saying, remember, he spent several verses saying, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Make Jesus your focus. Let him be your desire. Not all the other distractions and not human accolades and personal people telling you that you're great and all that. Let your focus be Jesus. When he's your focus and your heart is in the right place, Paul says, I have the confidence that if you want to be more like Christ, even if everything is not the way it should be, and we're still continuing to press on, he says, if you continue, he says, God is going to reveal to you by the power of his Holy Spirit the things that you might not be doing that I know you should be. He says, I'm employing some consideration. A very important principle here in the Word of God. You know, parent or that child who's not serving God the way you should, or not obedient, you continue being faithful. Watch to see where's their heart. Do they have a desire for the things of God? No, if that desire is not there, you need it's reason for concern. But if the heart is in the right place, Paul's saying here that God will reveal unto you what needs to change. Paul demonstrated humility in this place. And make note here even as it relates to certain doctrinal differences. Note, I want to make sure I say this. He's not talking about anything that will hinder your ability to love God or anything that will cause you to turn away from God. But he's saying when your heart is in the right place, God is going to work in your life and you will see growth in people spiritually. Amen? God is going to give you spiritual clarity. And while I'm thinking on that, let me say this. He's not here saying that we ought to condone differences in doctrine. Anything difference in doctrine, you want to be able to say, understand, Pastor, what is the difference between a minor doctrinal difference and a major doctrinal difference? A major doctrinal difference, the way you ought to take a stand, is anything that will hinder a person's eternal destination. For someone who is promoting or a doctrine or a dominant denomination that promotes a doctrine that causes people to go to a devil's hell, listen, you got to take a firm stand. There's no margin for acceptance. Anything that violates God's desire for holiness in your life. God says, be ye holy for I am holy. I love that verse that was quoted, Psalm 27. And I hope it stuck out to you. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart. There it is again. This thing of serving God is heart business. Paul says, I'm going to employ consideration. But thirdly, he says, we're going to emphasize what's common. Look at verse 16. He says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. Paul says, sometimes we get caught up on the things that we differ on. He says, no, let's focus on what we agree on instead of just focusing on the differences. This experiment has been, simple experiment has been tried, and it often reveals the same result. Someone gets a blank sheet of paper, puts a black dot in the middle, and gives it to you and asks you the question, what do you see? Inevitably, every single person, almost invariably, sees what? The black dot. But there's so much more than the black dot on the paper. There's a whole bunch of white space. But what do we see? The black dot. Oftentimes in life, we focus on more on our differences than what we have in common. Apostle Paul says, I just told you that there might be some differences as we work together for the building of the kingdom. But he says, nevertheless, whereto we have already attained. For the things that we agree on, let's focus on those things. Amen? They're far more than the things we have that are different. And then he says here finally tonight, he says, not only do we emphasize what's common, do we employ consideration, do we embrace the cause, but he says, let's encourage cooperation. He says in verse number 16, latter part, he says, let us do what? Walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Here are the two things that Paul was simply saying in that verse. He says, as it relates to cooperation, let's live by principles. Let's walk by the same rule. Brethren, children, adults, principles are for your protection. Embrace them. Don't live your life based on situational ethics. Well, in this situation, well, in this equation here and that. No. Live your life based on principle. Live by principles. And then let's be led by our purpose. He says, let us mind the same thing. In 2019, let's keep the main thing the main thing. We focus and say, listen, our agenda is to serve God, to love God, to reach a lost and dying world. So many of the other things that we make big deals and big priorities, they go by the boards. They no longer become a big issue. Why? Because I'm keeping the main thing the main thing. He says, let's be led by our purpose. When all else fails, let's not be distracted. Let's not be sidetracked. Is what we're doing helping the cause, or is it hurting the cause? Apostle Paul says, I have my own personal admirable pursuit, but in order for this kingdom to advance and for it to grow in the hearts and lives of people, one heart at a time, it's going to require a partnership. And I'm admonishing you to let us do this thing together. Let us grow. Let us mature in 2019, and God will be honored and glorified in our lives. And I tell you, we all get on board, and we all embrace the cause, and we say, God, what can I do more in 2019 to help my church accomplish God's will? God will reveal it unto you. What ministry endeavor can you be involved in? Or what ministry endeavor can you partner in? We have young people who need to be mentored. We have individuals who need to be engaged in the work of God in a greater way than just attending a church service. How can we see Shiloh Baptist Church double? Can we double in 2019? That's possible. It's absolutely possible. But it requires us to embrace the cause and to work wholeheartedly towards it. My dad has said these words for many years. If each one win one, we will be doubled. Is there somebody that God has laid on your heart for 2019? 365 days to win one person to the Lord. That makes it sound far more doable than we often think. And if each person did that, we would see growth numerically, spiritually, and in every other way possible. Let's make 2019 a great year as we partner together to see God's will accomplished.